This is a sermon podcast from St. Susie Baptist Church.
It is good to be with you this morning, and thank you for the opportunity. It doesn't seem that long ago that I was here last year, but I appreciate the chance to be back with you again in May Mission Month. I have at home a little object that I meant to bring with me this morning that I inherited from my mother, who passed away many years ago. It's a little curved piece of wood, nicely shaped like a mushroom, and at the bottom of it comes a curved piece of wood that you can grip with your hand. And Cheryl's nodding. I don't know whether she knows what it is, but I think... What is it, Cheryl, that you think that I might be...
I don't know its name, but I know you like to put it in your socks.
Yeah, you put it in your socks and you darn your socks with. I could pull my shoe off this morning and show you my sock, which I've darned, okay? People don't do it very much these days. You know, you go out to Kmart and Woolies and just buy a new pair of socks. But I think, well, the rest of the sock is pretty good, so let's darn it. So I get out my little instrument, shove it on the inside. My wife says, no, you're not doing it the wrong way, but I darn my sock. So most of the socks that I've got are unique in that I've got a darning thing, and I deliberately do it in a different colour. I'm mending my sock. And I want to speak with you today about the fact of mission in the concept of mission as mending. When we think about mission, we normally think about the idea that it's got to do with speaking out the gospel about people being converted from their sins, which it has. But I want to broaden the concept today, because I think it's a biblical concept, that mission is really about God seeking, as Scott Pilgrim said in that little video clip, about mending a broken world. We might just go to the next slide, if that's okay, Lance. So the concept of mending presumes the idea that something is broken or not as it should be. In the case of my socks, I've got very big toes, and those toes rub on the sock and a little hole develops there. It's broken. It's not fit for purpose. So I darn the sock. And the Bible concept around the idea that things get broken is, as you all very well know, a three-letter word called sin. And when we think about sin, we normally think about those things that we do wrong, wrong in thought, in attitude, in word, and in deed, breaking God's law. But sin is a broader concept. Sin is the concept that we've walked away from God's perfect standard and perfect way of doing things in the world and gone our own way, with a consequence that things in the world are not working the way that God intended and planned. That's the fundamental concept of sin. We live in a broken world as a consequence, that God's standards and laws are broken, but that the whole of creation is affected. Beneath that screen that you would have there, the picture on the screen, is this quote from Romans 8:28, which says, "For the creation was subject to frustration. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time." And it doesn't take much thinking to realise that we live in a broken world. Last Saturday, my wife and I went into one of those big rallies in Sydney against domestic and abuse and violence against women. Thousands of people were marching there, and that little screen shot, the picture that I've shot there, was one that I took. Graham prayed about a world that is broken in war, or broken relationships, or people who have cancer. We live in a world that, according to the biblical view, is not the way the world was intended to be, according to God the Creator. And there are many places where the Old Testament indicates that, and then the solution is found in the New Testament, where Jesus comes and dies and rises again to pay the price for our sins. But that message is not just about us being saved and forgiven and going to heaven when we die. It's about God being involved in his world here and now. He's mending his world. Brokenness is in many places where the Outback team works. The Outback team works in a lot of remote communities in northern and central Australia, where the intergenerational trauma upon the Indigenous people results in them living very broken and wounded lives. Some time last year, in one of the communities where the Outback team works, Danny and Beth Hunt, who are another retired couple who now are working part-time in Uendamu in the Northern Territory, just west of Alice Springs by about a three-hour drive. They live there part of the year, and I rang them to see how they were going. And while I was on the phone to them at the front of their house, and I've been to their home a number of times, there was a large mob of people. Go back the slide. That's a bit down the track. Just wind the slides back if you don't mind, Lance. There's a large mob of people struggling out the front of their place. They had lumps of wood. They had machetes. And these two groups were wanting to fight while I was on the phone to Danny and Beth in that place. It was a stark example of the brokenness of the place where they worked. But that brokenness is in our communities as well. One of the highest rates of domestic violence in Sydney exists in the Sutherland Shire. We live in a broken world. And into this broken world came Jesus. And I think, Lance, if you can just go back one slide, that would be great. Okay. Into our broken world came Jesus. And I think, I'm not sure, Lance, whether there's a slide I've skipped there or something, but anyway, we'll keep going. Into this broken world came Jesus, and he came preaching a gospel of forgiveness, but he did more than that, didn't he? When we turn to Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 34, there's a remarkable story that Jesus beginning his ministry, and it starts off by saying they went to Capernaum, this little village, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. So he comes with this teaching message, and the people, it says, were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. But when you read that story, and the message is the gospel call to repentance and faith, but when you read on in that story, you hear that Jesus did lots of other things. He casts out demonic spirits. He heals people who are ill. He goes home in verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went up to her, took her hand and helped her up. The fever left her and she began to wait on them. And when you track Jesus' ministry all the way through, he doesn't just preach a message of forgiveness and forgiveness of sins, salvation, and going to heaven when you die. He preached about transforming people's lives. Mission is also about mending. And in a famous passage that Scott referred to in his little video clip there, he talked about setting captives free. He talked about bringing liberty to the oppressed. Jesus is about personal mending, but he's also about corporate mending. Mending is part of mission. So, in the midst of this reality, God gives us hope. Our mending God doesn't just discard people because we ourselves are broken, but when we are forgiven and brought into a relationship with Jesus, we're transformed into people who are part of this mission. In Mark chapter 6, verses 6 to 13, Jesus invites some fishermen to come and join him. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. He says, take nothing with you for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. And it said then they went out and preached that people should repent. Yes, that's part of the gospel. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. We might go to the next slide, Lance, if that's okay. Jesus calls us to be part of this mission. And the Old Testament, the ADBAC team members have been called to mission in remote areas with primarily indigenous people. But you too are called to that mission of mending here in San Suzy. You're called to this mission of mending in the city, as I am, where you travel to in the country or overseas visiting family or at work or at school or at university or wherever you are. We are called together into this mission of mending, just like the people on the ADBAC team. If Jesus is our Lord, we are all missionaries in different ways. The name San Suzy in French means what? Does anybody know?
No worries.
Hakuna Matata. No care. Well, that's a lovely place to live, isn't it? There's no rioting mobs at the front of where you and I live most of the time. There might be hidden crimes, there might be dangers and so forth, but San Suzy's a pretty neat place to live. No care. But we should care if we are part of the mission of God. As we might go to this next slide, here's a picture of Danny and Beth Hunt. They are a retired couple from Victoria. Danny was a minister for many years, a local church pastor, and he retired. And then God tapped him on the shoulder and said, "I want you as part of the ADBAC team to go into Central Australia." They've got a son who lives in Alice Springs, who's married to a doctor in the local hospital. And every 3 months or so, they go and spend 6 weeks to 8 weeks living in Yuendamu and ministering in that remote township, southwest of Alice, or northwest of Alice Springs. They were retired, but they're not retired. They were called in the mission work with the ADBAC team. And they're a great couple. Mission as mending, of course, is no easy task. Paul in the New Testament, one of those early great missionaries, wrote the following. He says, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we've been called into it." He says in 2 Corinthians 4:1, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." Ministry work is not easy. Mission work is not easy. It would be easy to give. And I want to suggest that mission work, the mission as mending, takes three P's. It first of all takes perseverance. We might just go to the next slide if you don't mind, Lance. Takes perseverance. The top of video, the picture that you see there is a picture of Kalkarindji. In early 2023, Matt and Shannon with their three kids moved to Kalkarindji in the northern part of the Northern Territory. They arrived there in January. And then in late February, early March, they went and had to move out and evacuate because the whole town was flooded. All the indigenous, and you would have remembered that story on the news, all of the indigenous communities of Dagaragu and Kalkarindji had to leave, be evacuated by plane. They were gone for 6 weeks, the missionaries as well. That's a picture taken from the front of their house. The river that you can't see there is about 13 metres deeper down beyond that village, beyond that house, the service station on the other side of the road. They had to persevere through that. They've been through two other floods since then. Both of the time the town gets cut off completely by these floodwaters. Mission as mending takes perseverance. That's the first P. Secondly, it takes patience. Baptists first went into Central Australia just after World War II. And Tom Fleming was one of the earliest missionaries there. He'd been a prisoner of war in Changi prisoner of war camp, came back, married, and with his new wife went to live in Yuendamu in the south near Alice Springs. He was there for 18 years before he saw his first converts. 18 years. Preaching, teaching, caring, loving, ministering, providing medical help to people. And for 18 years he was there before he was confident that somebody from the indigenous community, from the Gurindji tribe and the Walpri tribes, came to faith. Mission work takes perseverance. It also takes patience. But it also takes presence. That is, it takes relationship. We might go to the next slide. This is a picture of Matt Anderson when we were on a bush training camp. In a few weeks' time, we're going on another bush training camp. And a bush training camp is literally a bush training camp. You go out into the desert, camp out, and the indigenous people come and we have teaching for a week or a few days. And there's a picture of Matt, and I think that guy's name is Gerald, when we were on a training camp a couple of years ago. Matt's this young guy, and they're there with their young children, as I said, living in these remote communities. The other picture on the right is a picture taken a couple of days ago with the community members from Kalkarindji in Katherine for the Katherine Christian Convention. Matt's family got on a bus, drove for 6 and 7 hours with all the other indigenous people and arrived in Katherine, and the convention is on there this weekend. When the indigenous people were evacuated from Kalkarindji, Matt and Shannon went with them and lived with the whole group of people in Darwin at the evacuation centre. Ministry takes perseverance, it takes patience, but it also takes presence. It's about being relating to people, living where they're living, sharing their joys and sharing their suffering and their sorrow as well. And the Outback team and Baptist Mission Australia intercultural workers across the globe are committed to those three P's: perseverance in the face of adversity, patience over time, and presence, relationship. Finally, if we see mission as mending, not only does it take those three things, but it also helps us to live with hope. One of the texts that we were going to look at this morning, if you've got your Bibles, you might like to turn up to Revelation 21, right at the end of the scriptures, Revelation 21, 1-5. And John, writing this last book in the New Testament towards the end of his life, has this great vision of the end. I don't know whether you've noticed, but the Bible in Genesis starts in a garden, a perfect garden, and it ends up right at the end of the scriptures in Revelation in a city. A city. Revelation 21, 1-5 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea." In the scriptures, the sea is a place of chaos and danger and threat. There's no longer any sea. The danger and the threats are gone. "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. Then they will be his people, and he will be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Scott referred in that video clip to that little passage there. God is making everything new. God is involved in the mission of mending a broken world. And sometimes it can seem like the mission is not successful. It's not working. We've only got to look at the news. And Graham prayed about some of the disasters in the world. Or we look at people's lives or broken relationships or sickness or death. Is this mission of God working? Well, it seems to me that hope in the ultimate outcome is what we can have because of Jesus. Because it's not all up to us. It's not all up to you. It's not all up to me. Because in the end, it's God's mission. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can have hope that in the end, all things will be well. What does it say here in this passage? He wipes away every tear, no more pain, no more crying. The old order of things has passed away. That is the ultimate hope, a new heavens, a new earth. Not just being forgiven from our sins and nipping off to heaven when we die. It's about a transformed universe of which we are invited to be part, a new heavens and a new earth. There is hope that we have in this mission in its ultimate outcome. And my second last slide is a slide of another older couple. They're not as old as me, but this is Mal and Chris Good. They are the co-pastors of Casuarina Baptist in the Northern Territory. And over the last couple of years, God knocked on their shoulders and said, I want you involved in the Outback team. They were already involved with Indigenous people, and they've got a very multicultural church in Darwin, Casuarina Baptist. If you're ever up there on holidays, go to Cas Baptist. It's a great place. But they were involved also with the local Indigenous people, with people who came up from the remote communities for health reasons. And they got involved, and God said, I want you involved in a specific way in the Outback team. So one day a week, on average, spread across the year, they go to this little town south of Kalkarindji called Lajamanu. There's only about 600 people there, and that's near where our next bush training camp's going to be in a few weeks' time. But they've been called to work part-time in this remote Indigenous community. They're in their, I think, very late 50s. But that's what they're being obedient to God in doing. They'll go down there for a week or two or 3 weeks at a time. They minister to people who come up to Darwin. They're on the phone to the community down there, and they're seeking to bring the presence of Christ into that place. Our final slide is a picture of the whole of the Outback team. And really, the final thing I want to remind ourselves of today is that this mission of mending is only possible if we do it together. It takes a team. God called us into partnership with himself on this mission of mending his world, of calling people to repentance and faith, of healing broken lives, at transforming communities, at changing evil structures in our world. But we can't do it alone. Sans Souci, and I love the way, Graham, that you led communion this morning in terms of reminding us that is communion with God, but community with each other. We need each other to do this work, don't we? It is discouraging if we're doing it by ourselves. Mike can't do all the work as the pastor here by himself. He needs us, you, we, together to do this mission of mending. No matter where we are, we can join God in mending a beautiful but broken world. We don't bring healing in our own strength. We are co-menders with God, with each other, in Jesus Christ, who is our healer and our saviour. Being a co-mender, means joining God in renewing creation. Some of the people are involved in agricultural work in Africa and Kazakhstan. It means involving renewing communities, transforming communities. It means developing meaningful and authentic relationships where you can communicate the gospel of Jesus to those people. It means restoring people, visiting the sick, caring for the wounded and the lonely and the lost. God is mending, I believe, a broken and a beautiful world. And he's doing it through Jesus, our Lord. And the Spirit of Christ invites you and me to join him in that work. I want to thank you for being part of the Outback team as well. Not all of you can go. My prayer is that somebody maybe from this congregation might join the team. We're actually looking for new people to join the team. And if God's speaking to you in that way, come and speak to me, please. But you're part of the team even if you stay here. If you show interest, if you give, if you pray, if you stay connected maybe with the occasional email or letter to the Outback team, to Matt and Shannon, to Mel and Chris, to Danny and Beth, as they do their work in these remote communities. I want to thank you for your work and your prayer. My prayer is that at Sanssouci, as you minister and mission here, that you'll see mending continue to happen. May God bless you. Thank you for being part of the team. And may God continue to use us all on his mission as mending in his world. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for the way that you call us. Well, first of all, I want to thank you for the way that you've sent Jesus, who's through his death and resurrection, is beginning this transformative work of saving people and transforming and healing and mending our broken world. Lord, we want to be part of that. We can only be part of that, Lord, as we surrender our lives to you. Help us to do that today. We can only be part of that, Lord, as the Spirit of God strengthens us to do the things that you call us to do. And so I pray for your people here at Sanssouci, that they will have care, that they'll live without care, Lord, in some senses in this beautiful part of the world, but they will have the care of others, the care of reaching out to the lost and the lonely and the tired and the sick and the wounded and the abused, that you'll make this place a haven of healing and mending. So Lord, bless us as we go from this place into this week. We pray that you'd be glorified in our lives. We ask that you'd help us to continue in this mission for your name's sake and for the transformation and the promotion of the gospel in people's lives. We ask it in Jesus' great name. And all of God's people said, Amen.